to our church service. Appreciate our workers this morning. We're going to go to Exodus, second book of the Old Testament, Exodus chapter number 14 today. If you'll look there, that's for our scripture reading. And then Miss Sarah's got our song. Good to see these young people down front, these teenagers down front here. What a blessing. We do have a great group of young people. Appreciate John and Sarah working with our teens. If you're able to stand in reading God's Word this morning, let's stand together in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Beginning in verse 1, Exodus 14, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak, or in other words, tell unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth." I said it like a southerner, okay? "Between Megiddo and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled," that is, they're trapped or lost. That is just simply wandering aimlessly in the wilderness. In the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow," that is, chase after them, "and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants were turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" They thought, well, we've made a crazy decision, a foolish mistake here. Why did we let these that have been serving us, feeding us, working the crops, leave us? Verse 6, so they decide they're going to go after them again. "So he made ready his chariots, and he took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen." The word chosen is key. That just simply means they're select chariots. "And all the chariots of Egypt and captains," the best in other words, officers over every one of them. "And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued," that is, he chased after the children of Israel. "And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, and all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook," that is, surrounded them, "encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth," or whatever it is, "before Baal-Zephon." That's why you do it in the south. "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore, why hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Notice Moses' response. And Moses said in verse 13, a key verse, he said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Keep silent. Verse 15, "And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me," or tell me, "speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God, that we can read it, that, Lord, that we have it before us, that it is your Word, because you spoke it. Now may we apply the message you give to us today. Lord, I pray, Father, that we would all leave here encouraged because we did come. And Lord, I just pray if there's a lost one in our midst today, we want to pray they come to know you as Savior before it's eternally too late. But thank you again for the Word of God. Do what God you promised you'd do, and that is that God you'd move about us, you'll speak. Because where two or more are gathered in your name, you are in the midst. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You listen as Miss Sarah sings for us right now. Thank you, Sarah. Appreciate that. Take your Bibles again and look in Exodus chapter 14. Now, my wife is not here today, not because she's skipping out on church. She's in Virginia, along with my oldest son, up there with her folks. They're not doing well, so she's up there spending a little time with them. So appreciate your prayers for her as they travel back later in the week. Well, you'll see in Exodus chapter 14 a very familiar passage that I'll be honest with you, there's not a whole lot of new stuff that I'm going to bring to you concerning this passage, not that I have to. But I can tell you that we can relate to what is going on here with the children of Israel. Because we all have been there, we all can relate to where they're at, or if not, we will be there. And that is, and we've titled the message today, being pushed to the brink. Ever feel as though there's times in your life where you're just pushed to the brink? Now, the word brink just simply means that you're almost at a point where you know that there's something new about to take place, or something that is taking place. It could fall in the category of being dangerous or an exciting situation. And that's where the children of Israel is, as we read this passage in Exodus chapter 14. They were pushed to the brink, something that was new to them, something they'd never faced, something that was very dangerous, and then it could be, if they'd let it, to be something very exciting. You know, life, or sometimes we might ask, is it God, has a relentless way of pushing us to the brink through a persistent parade of sometimes obstacles and maybe opportunities that we're continually confronted with, moments that sometimes demand a decision, you know, are before us, that pushes us to the brink. And here in our text today, we find that the nation of Israel stands at such a place. Dust clouds are rolling in from Pharaoh's chariots as they come chasing after the children of Israel. But before them lies God's blessings. And behind them, yes, they see Pharaoh's army coming. But God's message to the children of Israel is the same message that really that God wants for us to learn today from this passage. That is, when we're pushed to the brink, we've got to look to God and to keep going forward. When we're pushed to the brink, we keep looking to God and keep going forward. Now look at what Moses said to God's people in verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. God, in just this one verse, was trying to remind the children of Israel that their problem that they see, yes, may be pushing them to the brink, but it will be solved. The enemy that seems to be chasing them, you'll see no more. So as we look at what Moses said to the people, the first thing that he starts out with, he says to fear not. Verse 13, you see that? He says, fear not. Yes, we're pushed to the brink. Times may seem dangerous. Matter of fact, it may be times we've never faced before. They could be exciting times, yet we don't know. They didn't know. They didn't know what they were going to be faced with. But they were told to fear not. And since he's giving you my outline, I'll just tell you. Alright, now listen, fear not. And the sources of fear are twofold that we see here. Number one, we see that they had to fear the past. In Israel's case, it was the chariots of the Egyptians who were bent on revenge. You see, they realized after the Pharaoh had realized, after he had agreed to let the children of Israel go, you can go, Moses, take the children of Israel with you. After they had left, all of a sudden they realized they've lost a good thing. I mean, for these years, they've had people as their servants that were taking care of them, that were working the fields, that were building their homes, people that were basically making sure that the food was brought in, that served them in their homes, and all of that had ended. And so now they decided, Pharaoh and his army, he gathers up the 600 or so chariots and soldiers and best officers that he had, and he began to pursue the children of Israel. You see, Israel had, it was the chariots of Egypt that was bent on their revenge, and you know, they saw the enemy coming. Now, in our case, it often is the failures of our past which comes back to haunt us. You know, our past sometimes that we have in our life seems to, we look back or we have a tendency to look back and we see that's a fear that seems to haunt us occasionally or from time to time if we live in our failures of the past. Now also, in Israel's case, not only was the fear of the past, much like us today, but there was the fear of the future. The fear of the future. Matter of fact, in Israel's case, it was the uncertainty of the wilderness. They knew that they were about to venture into a land that they had never been to before. They had heard about it, but yet they'd never been to this part of the country. And really didn't know even how they were going to make it there. But yet they were following God's man, Moses. And they knew he was God's man. So they pursue to do what they feel led of God to do. But yet they still had an uncertainty of their future. You ever get there sometimes? You ever been there? Sometimes that fear of that is of the past, but the future. In our case, it's also not knowing what the future holds. Just living life in general can sometimes be fearful. Just living life in general can be fearful. You know, I remember the first time I went off to college. I was raised up here in Prattville, Alabama. Graduated from Prattville High School. I'm a very proud graduate. I'm a Prattville Lions fan. I went to their ball game of the day and they lost. But I'm still a Prattville Lions fan. But I'm a 1980 graduate of Prattville High School. But I remember the day that I packed my car up and decided to head to Lynchburg, Virginia. Didn't know anything. I'd never been to Virginia. Well, I did go up there to visit the college before I went, but to move, I had never lived anywhere before outside of Alabama. And so I packed my car up and I had my green Toyota Corolla that I bought from my dad. My dad didn't give it to me. I had to buy it from him, which that taught me a lot. Nothing wrong with parents giving your kids a car, because you know, I've done that with my kids when I can help them out. But anyway, I packed that Toyota Corolla up, drove to Lynchburg, Virginia, and I remember, though, once I got there, this is scary. I don't know what the future holds. I'm 600 miles or more away from home, and they didn't have cell phones back then, which was a good thing, probably. And I'm going to be living with three other guys. My mama always washed my clothes. My mama did everything for me. Now, but God sent a sweet girl in my life, my wife Sherry, Now, I don't let her because she took place my mama. Some of you are thinking that. We met my second semester there in school. She was ready to get married. I wasn't ready to get married. Ideally, I thought, well, I'll graduate and we'll get married. But God had my future. And you know what? Young people, let me challenge you. You know, don't be afraid to step out and follow God's will. Make sure you are following God's will. God has a plan for all of us. But sometimes not knowing. I know the Arnolds are getting ready to move, and I know anytime you move, sometimes to a different location, sometimes you just don't know what to expect. Some of you have done that here recently, and it's a lot of things that can go into play. But in general, sometimes just life, just not knowing, we don't know what tomorrow holds, do we? None of us know what tomorrow holds. I mean, in general, life can be fearful if we'll let it be. Sometimes the older we become, the greater the fear. Our governor, shame on him right now, Governor Bentley, who has claimed to be a Christian, and I don't want you to think I'm angry. I'm disappointed in our governor who's claimed to be a Christian, and now he's putting fear into folks in Alabama to say, hey, if you don't vote for the lottery, these kids, these children are not going to be able to go to the doctor. That's a lie. That's a lie. He's promoting sin. Gambling is sinful. It's wrong. And I know that to be true because I pastor this church and I have enough people come knocking on this door of this church when I'm in my office looking for money because they've lost it over at the casino. The very people who are going to be hurt over this gambling stuff is not the rich people. It's not the middle class. It's the very poor people. Very poor people who don't have any money in the first place, but yet what little bit they get from their paycheck, they'll run and go gambling, hoping they can get rich quick because they said, just put it in there. Put it in the slot machine or whatever you do. I've never been in one of these places. I don't know. But listen, just gamble it away and you'll get rich quick and you'll be, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Now, I interject that because it's not really, should not be a part of our message, but there's a lot of people living in fear of their future because they don't know how they're going to make the ends meet on a daily basis. But pray for our governor. He's done wrong. He's doing wrong in leading our state when it comes to that. And so pray for him. The sources of fear are twofold, the past and sometimes the future. Moses said, fear not. You know, the shackles of fear are obvious, aren't they? The shackles of fear that we often wear are obvious. In other words, fear can discourage. You ever seen that when somebody's living a life of fear? One of the shackles that often that we see that we wear is discouragement can set in. We find that shackles a person from doing anything, so they get discouraged. And sometimes it even leads to the point of paralyzing people from doing anything. Some people get so fearful in their life that some don't even go out of their household to do anything because they're fearful of their future. Christians today, like Israel of old, sometimes they find themselves trembling on the shore of some uncrossable sea, whether it be problems in the families or marriages or jobs or health or whatever. The shackles of fear are obvious. And then the strength which dispels fear comes not from within us, but God says through Moses, it comes from above us. The strength which dispels fear. In other words, that which does away with fear and that which helps us through those times of discouragement is not going to come through getting more money in the bank account. It's not going to come by getting what we hope the doctor is going to say to us. It's not going to come by, a lot of what our government tries to decide what's right and what's best for us. What dispels fear and discouragement is already provided for us. And that's what Moses was trying to tell the children of Israel. Don't worry about the chariots coming. Don't worry about the army that's coming behind us. But look up. He says, fear not. It is the reassurance of the Lord of the universe that we find that dispels fear. He says, fear not. You see, only God can truly dispel fear. Matter of fact, God says in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, then what? Who can be against us? If God's on our side, who can be against us? In other words, nothing can happen to us without God's giving the permission for it to take place. Because you see, God is the one that is our protector, He is our guide, and He was taking care of the children of Israel. And He was. And they were fine until they looked back and they saw the chariots coming. I mean, they were glad to step out and follow Moses. I mean, Moses, man of God, we're going to follow Moses, and all that went well until they looked back. And then once they looked back and they saw the dust cloud that was coming with the chariots and so forth, that also caused them the fear of what was before them, the wilderness. Before this point, they were at least, man, they were set free from bondage. But now they were not only fearful of the past, but they were fearful of the future. And all of a sudden they found themselves shackled with discouragement. And that leads to the next point. When they were pushed to the brink, Moses said to do something else. He said, stand firm. Isn't that what he said? Verse 2, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. He said, stand still. That is, stand firm or stand by. You see, the brink is a difficult place to stand in. It is a place from which we, like Israel, like to run, though, sometimes. You know, we can try to run backwards to retreat into the security of the past. Israel, they entertained the idea. They did. They entertained it numerous times while they were in the wilderness. You go back and you study, even when they were across the body of water, the Dead Sea there, they crossed that body of water. God opened it up and they got over into the wilderness. And man, you'd think they'd be fine now. But it wasn't long after they got into the wilderness, they began to complain like a lot of Christians will do, because, you know what? The food here is different. Or we just don't have enough. Or we don't have it right when we want it. But it sounds like some of us sometimes. I mean, if we want to find something to complain about, I've said this to our kids before as they grew up, you know, if you want to find something to complain about, you can. Matter of fact, if you want to find something to complain about today in today's service, you can. I'm sure some of you have already looked around and you've noticed a few different hairdos and colors and so forth on folks, or maybe what something the preacher said or whatever, and you know, or maybe you've come up with a few things that, boy, if you really want to take and run with that, you can complain about it, you can gossip about it, whatever. But you know what? That's just human nature. But obviously, that's not what God would have us to do. They thought about going back to the old ways. You know, we can try to run away to escape the challenge of following God. And often what happens when you have shallow belief, and there's a lot of Christians today who have shallow beliefs. In other words, they're not founded on the truths of God's Word. And that's a problem that we find in most among Christians, many Christians today. That many Christians sometimes just go to church and they think that's enough. But you know what? The responsibility falls on us, does it not, as Christians, that we need to do more than just go to church. We need to grow our spiritual part of our bodies. The spiritual part. The shadow belief will get us by from day to day, but you know what? That false wind of doctrine is going to come along, and you know what? It's going to cause us to question what, wonder what, you know, listen, I had somebody the other day didn't like that I preached against alcohol. I heard about it. Didn't like it. Because Jesus drank. That's what they said. First of all, I don't believe that. But you know what? You can find something that, by the way, some would say, well, there's nothing mentioned about gambling in the Bible. You know, just because the Bible does not mention gambling, there's a lot of things that God does not specifically say, doesn't give us an excuse to do wrong. But gambling leads to a lot of other things that the Bible is opposed to. I mean, alcohol is one. Drink, you know, immorality, a lot of things, and just just letting loose of that which belongs to God. Shallow belief and cheap religion always vanish in the face of a challenge. And that's what happened with the children of Israel. Many of them were ready to go back and give in to the, go back to the old ways. They had the shallow belief. They accepted the cheap religion that came their way. And so when they were faced with the challenge, they were ready to give in to the challenge that was wrong. You see, as I said, easy believism, and we have a lot of that today, where just believe whatever you want to believe, accept whoever you want to accept. You know, lower your standards or lower your convictions. Don't worry about having any morals, and that's sadly where we're seeing a lot of that taking place today. But God's message to the people that are all on the brink, what does He say? In verse 13, He says, stand still. That is, stand firm. God today has set the believer free from the bondage of sin. You know, for us to give in to the challenge of going back, that'd be like us today saying, well, I kind of like living in sin. I like not knowing whether I'm going to go to heaven or not. So I'm just going to go back to my old way. If we could do that, we couldn't do that. But I'm going to let God just have my salvation back, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to just go eat, drink, and be merry, do what I want to do, because I enjoy sin, and, you know, I'm not worried about whether I'm going to go to heaven or not. And obviously, that's foolish, wouldn't it? We wouldn't dare say that. And by that same statement, we'd be saying, I like living in bondage. Because, you see, before we get saved, the Bible says you're in bondage. Satan has you bound. But when we come to know Christ as our Savior, we invite Him in our life, we have been set free from the bondage of sin. We don't have to sin anymore. Why? Because with Christ in our life, we can say no to sin. But before then, you know, we're living in bondage. So the children of Israel were looking back and thinking, well, Moses has led us astray. We just go back to our bondage. But God's message to the people on the brink was, He said what? Stand firm. Moses says, stand firm. You know, our world is full of fleeing Christians today. Sadly, the reason, and I've said this, and, you know, as a Christian understanding, and I know many of you understand where I'm coming from, that we don't see a lot of Christians taking the stand that once was taken in our world in days past. There's a lot of fleeing Christians that are running from bad relationships, maybe difficult jobs or challenging situations, but somehow, even in the face of the greatest challenge, you know what? Faith challenges us to take a stand. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ challenges us, hey, when times are tough, we need to stand firm. How? There's three things. Number one, by knowing who you are. By knowing who you are. We stand firm by knowing who we belong to, who we are. I'm a child of the King. You know, that doesn't make me better than anybody, but I can stand firm because I know who I belong to. I belong to the Lord. Know who we are. Sadly, there's a lot of so-called Christians that are running around. They don't stand firm because they don't know who they belong to. Today they may belong to God, but next week, because they're shallow in their belief, they may decide, hey, I'm going to dabble with a little bit of this Muslim stuff and research and you know, how long they become. By the way, you don't go from being a Christian to a Muslim, okay? You're either saved or not, all right? So that would tell me somebody who's dabbling in that is most likely not saved anyway. Now, I don't mean just Muslim. I'm talking about any cult or any other false belief. So know who you are. Secondly, trust in God. Trust in the God that you serve. The problem with the children of Israel, the reason that they were now considering going back to Egypt, giving in to Pharaoh, is number one, they had forgotten who they belonged to. And secondly, they'd forgotten whom they really are serving. We are serving God, right? See, we need to trust in the God that we serve, that God will get us through this storm that we're going through, the brink that we're faced with. We need to trust in God. And then thirdly, we need to have the resolve
that we're not going to be moved. That's what Moses was saying to the children of Israel. Stand firm. That is to have the resolve. Okay? No matter how many storms come my way, no matter how many problems or disappointments I face or whatever, I'm going to have the resolve today. I'm not going to let that cause me to be delusional about who I know can get me through this. So we stand firm. How? By knowing who we are. Secondly, by trusting in the God that we serve. You know, we come to church every Sunday and we sing the praises of God, but do we really trust God? I would like to give lip service to God sometimes, but do we really mean it? And then do we have the resolve that says, hey, I'm not going to be moved, no matter what they say outside these doors, no matter what I hear sometimes and people may say, or no matter what disappointments may come my way, I'm going to stand firm. So when we're pushed to the brink, as the children of Israel was, we need to take the advice that Moses also, the third piece of advice that Moses gave to the children of Israel. And he said, verse 13, he said, see the salvation of the Lord. He says, fear not, stand firm. And then the third piece of advice he gave to the children of Israel, he said, see the salvation of the Lord. You know, all the children of Israel, all they needed to do was to stand by and watch their God at work, fighting on their side. That's what Moses is saying here. And Moses in verse 13 said, unto the people, fear ye not, stand still. And what does he say? See what God's going to do. God's going to rescue you. And when God does something, by the way, God always does it right, doesn't he? Matter of fact, he even tells them the latter part of that verse, watch what God does, he says, which he will show to you today for the Egyptians whom you have seen today. What is he talking about? Those dust clouds that are coming? Those chariots? Pharaoh's got his best army coming after you. He says to fear not, stand firm, and watch. See the salvation of God. Then he says in the last part of verse 13, what does he say? And ye shall see them again, no more, forever. You know what? When God does something, he takes care of business, doesn't he? Hey, this enemy that's chasing you, this problem that you're faced with, or whatever it may be, just let God have it. Let God have his way. Trust God. Know who you serve. Listen, and resolve that I'm going to stand firm. And then just watch God work. And this enemy that's chasing you, it'll be gone forever. You know, though the brink that sometimes we're on is fearful, the brink that we're faced with is an uneasy place to stand. And it is also the best place, though, when we're at the brink, to observe what God can do. I mean, really, you think about it, you're pushed to the brink, you can't go any further, and that's where the children of Israel were. They're at the point that they have to really, you know, it's either give in and go back, or it's to listen to what Moses is saying, just watch what God's going to do, because now they're faced with a body of water that they, listen, this ain't going to happen. Moses said, just watch. See the salvation of God. And boy, does God go to work. Now, this is not a movie we're watching here. Man, this took place. The miracle of God. God had brought Israel to this place for the very purpose of demonstrating his power to save. Isn't that the way God seems to work sometimes? God will push us to the brink to where really there's no other way out. Going back is not the way to go. And going forward, it just looks like no hope. But sometimes that's the way God allows us to be in our life to demonstrate what he and his power can do to bring salvation to his children. You see, the sea that they saw at the edge was really a point of disaster. Put yourself in their position. I mean, you're not going to walk on the water. I mean, you don't have a big boat that's going to carry you across. And you know, there's just really no way to get across here. You can't swim without dying. So what do? Just wait. Waiting is always hard, isn't it? I mean, they're coming up behind us. I mean, they're soon going to take over. And you want Moses, you want us to wait, see the salvation of God work? And really, we look in the past and we see that it'd be much easier just to give in. Moses says, just wait. Don't fear. You know, that's easier said than done, isn't it? I've been put in positions like that as a preacher. Well, to try to give encouragement to people that are faced at the brink. And you know, I don't have the answers. You don't have the answers. But you know, I know that God's word has never failed us. God has the answers. When God says, through God's man here, don't fear, but just stand firm, stand your ground, and just watch what God's going to do. I've made some people mad over that over the years, thinking you're trying to be super spiritual. And sometimes it doesn't necessarily work out the way we want, but it always works out the way God planned. And God demonstrated His power. The sea they saw at the edge of the disaster now becomes a threshold of salvation. We know the story. I mean, God takes something that was not a problem to Him. He just takes maybe one of His fingers and He just rubs it across the sea. And the sea departs. It opens up. That's the salvation of the Lord. You may need that part of the sea in your life right now. But it's going to take you trusting God. You see, God acts in decisive ways to demonstrate that, doesn't He? But He alone can truly save. You see, this is the great message of this text. For Israel, the miraculous crossing, the manna, the quail, the water, the defeat of the Amalekites all demonstrated this great truth. You see, in man's extremity, somebody says, is God's opportunity. In man's extremity is God's opportunity. In other words, it is precisely when we are at an end, when the situation seems most hopeless, that God does His greatest work. And you know, we read that time after time in the Word of God. I mean, give you an example, Noah the Ark. I mean, 120 years to build that thing. But God took them all the way to the end to demonstrate His power. And there are example after example, and there's testimony after testimony that people could give, and I've heard and you've read, where it seemed like, boy, God just took me to the brink or to the end, and God did something miraculous or powerful or whatever in my life. And you know what? God's still doing things like that today. Moses says, see the salvation of the Lord. There's one last thing. Moses didn't say this, though, this last thing. Look in verse 15. By the way, let's look at verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you, Moses said to the children of Israel, and ye shall hold your peace. That's the last thing Moses said. And then the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? He says, speak, or that is, tell unto the children of Israel that they go forward. What does God say to the children? He said, Moses, I want you to give a message to the children of Israel. Now, Moses was relaying the message in verse 13, but God made sure that the last message they heard was to do what? Go forward. It's not time to quit. Listen, you're at the brink, but if you don't cross, you don't know what the blessings of God is that's waiting on you. God says, go forward. You see, because God's promise of deliverance overrules all despair and sense of hopelessness, only comes by going forward. Some Christians, sadly, along the way quit. There's some that never know God's blessings, but because they quit too soon. They gave up on God when the going was tough. Or they began to backslide and decided, well, you know, if this is the way life is going to be, I'll just go back. Going back never does us any good. Brings more harm into our life and what we're faced with. But God says, tell the children of Israel, tell my children to keep going forward. Because you see, going forward, we find there's that hope that God promises us. God chases away all the despair by giving into our problem. Obviously, we never know the hope that God has for us. By giving into the situation we're faced with, and we never know what God will, how He will fulfill His promise. But if we go forward, then we know God will fulfill all that He's promised. You know, as we stand on the brink of life-changing decisions, some of you are there. I don't know. Some of you may be like me, you know. Young people getting ready to go off to college in a few years, and boy, that's a life-changing decision. Some of you may be thinking of marriage, and young people, that's going to happen one day. Make sure you marry the one that God brings in your life, the right one. You know, that's a life-changing decision. A career or whatever. Listen, health, whatever. Listen, a lot of these things we're faced with in life. As we stand on the brink of a life-changing decision, let us, like Israel of old, hear the Word of God. To do these things, number one, fear not. Stand firm. See the salvation of the Lord. And then, most importantly, go forward. Go forward. You see, this is the call of Scripture today, that God's people go forward with God by faith. That's the only way we can go forward. You see, the only way that the children of Israel could cross this body of water was to step out by faith and trust the Lord. In and of themselves, they would have turned and run. And you know what? Some of you here today, for you to know Christ as Savior, like many in this room, the only way that you can truly come to know Christ as Savior is to go forward. And you take that first step and God take the rest. How? By faith. That's how we come to know Christ as Savior, by putting our faith and trust in Him as our personal Lord and Savior. Because He's already taken our place upon the cross when He died for us. Now, are we going to accept what He did was for? Can you accept that it was for you? Well, it was, but you have to accept by faith. Would you be willing to do that if you don't know Christ as Savior? Maybe you're here today and you're at the brink. It could be an exciting situation. It could be disastrous, it seems, but you're at the brink. Maybe of giving up. Going back. You know what? I hope that you'll take the challenge that, hey, I'm going to go forward for God. I'm not going to give in to the old ways. I'm not going to go back. Because going forward is the only way we find that hope. Only way we're released from that despair. Would you be willing to do that today? If there's unconfessed sin or something today that you need to make right with God, would you be willing to not worry about what others think? But would you be willing to follow the leadership of the Lord today and, if need be, come this altar? Boy, there are more God's people, young people, adults alike. Listen, if God is tugging at your heart, do what God says do. Don't worry about what others think. But it's important that we go forward for God. Would you stand forward with the heads bowed and eyes closed as we stand? Christians are praying. Would you, as Christians, pray? But if you feel led to step out this morning, if it's to pray for someone else, maybe you know someone is at the brink. Maybe you know that person that really maybe is almost at a point of giving up. Would you be willing to lay their name on the altar? And maybe also ask God to use you to be that witness, that person that can be of strength and encouragement in their life. Maybe a church member, maybe a family member, whoever it is, God knows. Our Father, we commit this invitation to You. Lord, our hearts, Lord, are just open to Your leadership this morning. We want to be that way. We want to be led of the Spirit today. Lord, if there is that lost one today in our midst that's never trusted You as Savior, they'll not leave here in a lost condition but have trusted You as Savior. If there's someone here today that's never been scripturally baptized, or there may be someone, Lord, that's seeking a church home, they've feel as though they found it here at Fountain City, I pray, God, that You'll lead and give them the peace of mind of knowing what You'd have them to do. But Lord, there's some here today that truly are struggling, I feel. Lord, I don't know. I don't know hearts, but only You know. But I do believe, God, this message has spoke to some today. And I pray, God, that you would just help us to have the liberty to follow the leadership of the Spirit of God today. If need be, come to this altar or just have someone to pray with them. Whatever the need is, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good